The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, U.S. Secretary of Commerce in Ghana to explore opportunities in renewable energy. Condolences and tributes continue to pour in for PV. Public officials and institutions blamed for condoning encroachment on government lands. Tuareg rebels in northern Mali release hostages, and the military in Thailand declare martial law and assume sweeping powers. And using detail.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
U.S. Secretary of Commerce Penny Pritzker is in Ghana with about 20 companies to explore investment opportunities in the area of renewable energy. The team is on a tour of Africa to assist the continent address its energy deficit in line with President Obama's Power African project. Ms. Penny Pritzker led the team to call on the president at the Flagstaff House in Accra. The president unveiled his Energy for All policy, which will ensure reliable and cheap power for economic development. President Mahama urged this team to also look at other areas like agriculture. Pascaline Adadavu reports.
Ms. Pritzker is touring Africa with captains of industry to form new partnerships with focus on energy. Ghana is the first to be visited because of her impressive global recognition. U.S. President Barack Obama directed her Secretary of Commerce to embark on the tour to create awareness of his Power Africa project launched last year. Obama's Power Africa project aims to assist Africa address its power challenges. Coincidentally, the Power Africa project fits into President Mahama's Energy for All policy. In his State of the Nation address last year, he stated that government's overall objective for the energy sector is to ensure reliable, stable, and progressively cheap power for economic development. Luckily, Ghana could start accessing funds under the Millennium Challenge Account program by next year, and this will focus on the power sector. The high-level executives whose companies are into renewable energy are seeking partnership to boost Ghana's energy efforts.
I think, Mr. President, I believe that GE is about to play an important role in jump-starting President Obama's Power Africa initiative. And this $1.2 billion project could become perhaps one of Power Africa's flagship ventures in all of Africa. And so I just want to share with you that we'd like for you to consider this project as one of the key solutions in achieving your 5,000 megawatt power generation capacity.
President Mahama said government is undertaking power reforms, which has opened up the sector for independent power producers to operate. He noted that the country's energy sector is facing some challenges, but homegrown solutions are being employed to address them. Ghana's energy demand grows between 7 to 8% per annum, and this calls for supply to be stepped up. President Mahama is happy the team chose Ghana first in its investment drive.
All in all, I think that this is the time to look at Africa. Africa is the next frontier for development. In many sectors, people who have taken the decision to invest in Africa have gotten a very, very good rate of return on their investment. And the telecom sector is an example. Energy is opening up, and I think that there's a time to look to Africa to invest in the energy sector because of the rising demand, that we're seeing on the continent. It's the fastest growing continent. It's got the fastest growing middle class, 350 million estimated, and growing at a quite fast pace. And so I believe there are all the advantages, in investing here.
Ms. Penny Pritzker said the United States respects the leadership of President Mahama as well as his new position as chair of ECOWAS. She pledged the U.S.'s support to enable him to achieve his objectives.
Pascalina Dadovo reporting. Vice President Kwesi Mesa-Afa has described terrorism and insurgency as alien to West Africa and warned that if allowed to fester, the phenomenon will erode the gains made over the years. Speaking at the 2014 first ordinary session of the ECOWAS Parliament in Abuja, Nigeria, Vice President Mesa-Afa called on members to ensure that their constituents renounce religious extremists. He said the government of Ghana condemns in no uncertain terms the kidnapping of more than 200 schoolgirls and pledged its solidarity and willingness to help halt the activities of Boko Haram extremists. The vice president bemoaned the low rate of intra-regional trade and challenged the MPs to pass legislations that will help to reinvigorate trade among member states. Earlier, Mr. Enisa Arthur laid a foundation stone for the construction of a 3.4 billion naira office complex for the ECOWAS parliament. The NDC has described the late P.V. Obin as a political strategist who combined diplomacy and tact in dealing with issues relating to governance and exploits that undoubtedly ushered him to the class of statesmanship in Ghana and beyond. A statement signed by the party's chairman, Kwabena J, said his death has come as a shock not only to the NDC, but to the nation and beyond, considering his impact on Ghanaian politics, especially at the crucial state of the nation's governance when its services are needed most. The Institute for Democratic Governance and All Partners in the Civic Forum Initiative, CFI, has described the late P.V. Obin as a consummate politician and thinker who was recognized by many for his wisdom and persuasive skills. In a statement, the executive director of IDEC and chairman of the CFI, Major Janoni Carl Coleman, said the late P.V. Obin was a champion of inter-party dialogue, cooperation and national consensus. With his death, the nation has lost a rich institutional memory of the inner workings of the executive arm of government. It was a solemn and somber atmosphere at the residence of the late P.V. Obin when commissioners of the National Development Planning Commission called on the bereaved family at Tama Community 2 years today. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the vice chairman of the commission, Dr. Edith Tete, described the late P.V. Obin as a versatile leader with broad knowledge on several issues. According to her, he was scheduled to speak at a follow-up meeting with the United Nations nutrition team from Geneva next month. She shares her working experience with the late P.V.
He was a good colleague, and he was somebody that we all admire in terms of his leadership role. When there's any program and you brief him about it, in a very short time, he can put things together and deliver it very well. The guy is very eloquent, talented, and there are no airs about him. Everybody can approach him. That's the beauty about him. He doesn't really have, you know, visiting time or something. He has an open-door policy. Anytime you have a problem, you can always go to him. And that's the beauty of it. If I show you my phone now, you see the number of text messages. The moment you text him, the next minute the reply comes. Phone calls he cannot take. But whenever there's a problem and you text him, because just last month, April, we have a team coming down from UN Geneva for a meeting. They wanted to have their first ever learning experience in Ghana here. And I said, okay, then chairman, that's how we all call him. We said, chairman, they really will want this because you are the senior advisor to the president. As soon as they arrived, I text him. He said, it was at the Flagstaff House and that they got there at 2 a.m. to prepare something. And yet this person was able to sneak out to come and meet this other delegation. The following morning, he had to come and hear the meeting. He had so many other things, but as soon as it's okay, time is up, then he appears. So this is the type of person he is. Very versatile. He's an engineer. The meeting we had was on nutrition. But the way he was talking nutrition, you think he's a nutrition specialist.
That was the vice chair of the National Planning Commission, Dr. Edith Tete. The commission will open a book of condolence in memory of the late statesman. Other dignitaries, including Professor Osman Nelson and the Ahois, were there to also express their sympathy. Professor Osman Nelson described his shock and dismay at hearing the news. He said he rushed to be with the family at the 37 military hospital. In a tribute, he said the late P.V. Obin brought his influence to bear not only on sports, but all aspects of his working and personal relationship. Meanwhile, the Catholic Bishops' Conference says it has received with sadness and shock the sudden death of P.V. Obin, chairman of the NDPC and chief presidential advisor. A statement by the vice president of the conference, Most Reverend Anthony Adanuti, who is also the bishop of Keta Akachi, said the late P.V. Obin can be described as a true statesman and a faithful Christian who puts his knowledge, talent and expertise at the service of his nation and church. He distinguished himself in all portfolios he held, and his excellent political career encouraged the Diocese of Obuasi to request a papal award for him, which was granted by Emeritus Pope Benedict in February 2009. The statement said, in this period of sadness and mourning, members of the conference thoughts and prayers are with his wife and family and all who were dear to him. It urges politicians and the young people of Ghana, especially those who aspire to enter into politics, to emulate the virtues that the late PVO being espoused, namely sacrifice, honesty, excellence, and statesmanship. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. U.S. Secretary of Commerce in Ghana to explore opportunities in renewable energy. Condolences and tributes continue to pour in for PV. Public officials and institutions blamed for condoning encroachment on government lands. Tuareg rebels in northern Mali release hostages. And military in Thailand declare martial law and assume sweeping powers. We are back shortly.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The news at 6 continues. The Director General of the GBC, Major Albert Donchibi, has expressed disappointment about public officials who contribute to the loss of state properties instead of safeguarding them. He was worried about the speed at which lands allocated to government for development are encroached upon by individuals while the various assemblies and government officials sit unconcerned. Major Albert Donchibi expressed these sentiments when he paid a visit to Akwitia in the Denchembo district, where a parcel of land belonging to the GBC is encroached upon. Here's a report by correspondent Stephen Mensah.
The Director General of GBC, Major Albert Donchibi, has noted with concern the rate at which government lands are being encroached upon with impunity. Accompanied by some board members, the Eastern Regional Director of the Corporation and the Estate Manager to the GBC site at Akwitia, the Director General noticed that the encroacher had defied previous warning by the Corporation and began a wall construction around the 3-acre land. A signpost erected by the Corporation on the land had also been removed. Structures on and around the land had been marked by the Assembly for demolition. The Director General found it more disturbing the involvement of the Member of Parliament, the DCE, and Chief of the Area in the GBC Akwitia land encroachment case. Major Donchibi noted that these authorities could have engaged a corporation on how best to handle the issue, but rather went ahead to start developing the land. He said GBC will pursue the case in court to reclaim the land. Major Donchibi said GBC will seek an injunction to stop the development on the land. A board member of the corporation, Ni Adokwe Mufat, said it is out of place for anybody to illegally encroach on another's land. He said if these indisciplinary acts are not stopped, the country will lose all preserved lands. Mr. Mufat said the need has come for lands allocated to the corporation to be safeguarded as GBC seeks to open community radio stations in every district of the country. Earlier, Major Donchibi had paid a courtesy call on the Eastern Regional Minister Julius Deborah in Kuforidia to brief him on the encroachment on the corporation's land. The regional minister entreated the corporation to formally write to the RCC to enable it to have locus in the case and promised to help address the issue amicably. Mr. Deborah also appealed to GBC to promote the region through its coverage to showcase the investment potential the region possesses.
Correspondent Stephen Mensah's report. The president of the Western Regional House of Chiefs, Awolai Anoeji, has proposed the establishment of a training institute of chieftaincy. He says the changing pace of governance calls for chiefs to be properly resourced to be able to rule. Awolai Anoeji made the appeal when the Minister of Chieftaincy and Traditional Affairs, Dr. Henry Seydou Dana, called on him at Atuabo in the Jomolo district of the Western Region. The Fast Track High Court in Accra has ordered the Ministries of Education, Youth and Sports to undertake a search in the archives and make available to businessman Alfred Agbeshewume the authored correspondence between Yao Safumafu, Minister of the then Ministry of Education, Youth and Sports, and the LOC Chairman, Dr. Kofi Amoah. The said letter by Dr. Amoah is purported to have instructed Mr. Safumafu to admit the Shanghai Group into the already ended bidding process for CAN 2008. The court order, in accordance with justice and fairness in criminal trials, follows an objection by the prosecution on Mr. Williams' attempt to tender in evidence an authorized copy of the said letter. We bring you Amasewa Bidiakon's report.
According to the defense team, the said letter is of relevance to the issue at hand, and per the orders of the court will produce the original letter, which is signed. Earlier, Mr. Woyume informed the court presided over by Justice John Ajet Nassam that the bid tendering in two folds of technical submission and financial package was closed at 4 p.m. on July 4, 2005. He said he personally submitted and signed on behalf of the entire consortium he put up. He noted that thereafter, technical and finance committees with expertise were set up to evaluate the technical and financial aspects of the bid. The Van Le Dessau Committee, which was the finance committee, was tasked to test and consider the authenticity of all financial bids submitted. Mr. Woyume said, after the committee's evaluation of the financial support document, he met with the committee. He indicated that the process leading to government guarantee of MIGA was due 4 months ahead, but the committee wanted no delay in the construction project and sought for alternative arrangement. Mr. Woyume said he presented his alternative arrangement, which was bridge financing, arranged from a consortium of local banks led by Merchant Bank. He indicated that he presented the Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning with a documentation to that effect. Mr. Woyume intimated that government later entered agreement with Merchant Bank and borrowed that funds to begin the initial work on the Accra and Kumasi Stadia. The Van Le Dessau Committee issued its report later, which was forwarded to the Central Tender Review Board, where concurrent approval awarding the contract to Vamed Waterville Group, having emerged winners of the bid, was issued. Mr. Woyume said he was to meet with Obi Amwa for collaboration to begin the project, but other issues unfolded. He later got to know that Dr. Kofi Amwa of the LOC had written to instruct Mr. Osafu Mafo to add the Shanghai Group, which were not part of the ended process. He added that Mr. Osafu Mafo indicated in his response that the Dr. Amwa's request was not possible. The case has been adjourned to the 29th of this month for further continuation of evidence.
I'm Marcel Wabedi, course report. We pause for a break and we'll be right back.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
In foreign news, around 30 hostages kidnapped by Tuareg rebels in a deadly siege at local government offices in northern Mali over the weekend have been released. Media reports say they are not in bad condition. There were no immediate details on any negotiations behind the release or confirmation that every hostage kidnapped in the northern rebel stronghold of Kidal last Saturday had been freed. In Thailand, the army has imposed martial law amid political crisis to preserve law and order. The surprise announcement also granted the army wide-ranging powers to enforce its decision. The military insisted its assumption of responsibility for national security was not a coup. Martial law comes amid a long-running political crisis and months of escalating tensions between the government and the opposition. China has denounced the charges brought by the U.S. against five army officers accused of economic cyber espionage. Beijing said it had never engaged or participated in cyber theft and warned that the charges would damage cooperation between the two countries. China has summoned the U.S. ambassador to Beijing over the incident. U.S. prosecutors say the officers stole trade secrets and internal documents from five companies and a labor union, but the Chinese Foreign Ministry urged Washington to immediately correct its mistakes and withdraw the charges. Now to other news, the main points again. U.S. Secretary of Commerce is in Ghana at the head of a 20 company to explore opportunities in renewable energy. The team is on a tour of Africa to assist the continent address its energy deficit in line with President Obama's Power Africa project. And the Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, Major Albert Don Chibi, has expressed worry about the way public officials contribute to the loss of state properties instead of safeguarding them. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.